Welcome to the Open Door Podcast. I'm Pastor John Riley. I hope that today's message will encourage you and help you to find deeper intimacy with Jesus. If you'd like to know more about our church, you can visit us online at opendoorsanrafael.com. Many of you have noticed, if you're new here, you don't know that this stool was not always how I preached. But since coming back from a sabbatical in June, I've been preaching from this stool. And the reason for that is partly because I just wanted to convey sort of a more chill vibe, let's be honest. You know, like, hey, I'm just one of you folks. I'm just sitting down. It's no big deal. But mostly the reason I've been in this stool is because I injured my back in November, which most of you know about. And then my foot stopped working. My left foot, I developed a partial paralysis called foot drop. And so I'm not as steady on my feet as I used to be, especially moving side to side. And I stumble a lot more often than I used to. I've even fallen several times in the last few months, which is really a weird thing to get used to, that you can be out for a walk in the neighborhood and all of a sudden you're face down on the ground. And was not a part of my reality before. And so to spare everybody the awkwardness of potentially stacking up here while preaching, I've been preaching from this stool. The problem is I really don't feel as much myself sitting down and preaching. So today I am doing away with the stool. And I am putting it back here because if I do stack, I want it close by so I can sit right back down in it. But let's hope that doesn't happen, right? That's a perfect segue into my message, though, today, which is all about our bodies. Not something we talk about a lot in church, but I'm talking about, yes, these things, these physical bodies. You know, these are not just here to carry your head around. Like, these are actually important. And we're going to talk about our bodies. We talked when I was doing my, thank you, Valerie, for always laughing at my jokes. When I was doing my degree in psychology, we used to talk about how most Americans treat their body as something that carries around their head. And that's about it. And in Christianity, we often do that too. But these bodies are actually really important. And so we're going to be talking about that today. And my message today is called Dignity in Our Design. Dignity in Our Design. And it's actually the first of five messages I'm going to be doing on the topic of dignity. Five, maybe four. We'll see. We'll see how inspired I am. But today's is called Dignity in Our Design. So speaking about our bodies and speaking of dignity, have you ever noticed how different your body looks before and after the shower? Like, seriously, I know this is awkward and way too much information, okay? But a few weeks ago, I sometimes take off my clothes and I take a shower, and I was getting into the shower, and I caught my reflection in the mirror, and, you know, to my surprise, I thought, hey, buddy, you're not looking too bad today. And I was really pleased with myself, and then I got in the shower. And then as I was getting out, I caught my reflection again. I was like, ah, what happened? It's like I put on a completely different body in the shower. What is it about 10 minutes of hot water that takes any slightly toned piece of flesh and makes it like a Ziploc bag full of jelly? Can I get an amen from somebody? I don't know what this is, but it needs to stop. We need to figure out water, you guys. Let's get all the scientists on this. But so I have a new deal with myself. I only look at myself in the mirror before the shower now. Problem solved, right? That's how I fixed that problem. But joking aside, this past year I have had a strained relationship with my body. And actually, it's gone on more than a year because what led up to my back injury was years and years of physical problems and pain. But this last year especially, I've had a hard time with this body of mine. And there's been times when I felt very, very frustrated with my body. There's been times when I felt embarrassed of my body. And there's been some brighter moments where I felt really grateful that I still have this body that works pretty well. But it's gone back and forth. It's been a tough relationship with my body this last year. And through that, though, I've kind of had my ears open to other people who are having important conversations about what the Bible has to say about our bodies. One of those people is a guy named Sam Alberry. Sam Alberry wrote a book called What God Has to Say About Your Body. And I must confess, I haven't read Sam's book, but I can recommend it just from having listened to him on podcasts and reading articles on this subject. A lot of what I'm going to say today surely is owed to Sam and his wisdom and the work he's already done studying what the Bible has to say about our bodies. But in listening to Sam Alberry and people like that, I've started to kind of construct a new theology about our bodies and my bodies, not in a new theology like a new thing in the world, you know, but for myself, I've started to construct a new theology about my body and what it actually means and what God actually thinks about it and what I should think about it because of that. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about what God has to say about our bodies. And the whole point of this message is that whatever kind of body you have, you can feel good about it. You can feel good about it because God has given us dignity in our very design. And so there's three things we're going to do today. I'm going to start out just giving a general overview of what Scripture has to say about our bodies. Then I'm going to talk about how did our thinking about our bodies, especially as Christians, get so messed up. And then I'm going to talk about three ways that the gospel can remedy our thinking about our bodies and demonstrates the dignity in our design. So probably the best place to start is at the very beginning, right? In Genesis, we read about our bodies. This is what it says in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, 27, and 31. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day." So God creates man and woman. He looks at them, and he says, "It's very good." That's a pretty good recommendation for our bodies, isn't it? Like, that's a good starting point. God made these, and he said, "Very good." But some of you are probably thinking, well, but a lot of stuff happened after that, right? What about the fall and sin coming into the world and all the ugliness that ensued as the result of that? Does God still look at our bodies and say, "Very good"? Well, King David seemed to think so. This is what King David wrote in Psalm 139. He said, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Fearfully and wonderfully made. If you're looking for a glowing review of our bodies, you couldn't get a much better review than that, could you? That God made us fearfully and wonderfully. And yet, many of us still have these ideas about our bodies persisting that are a low view of our bodies. And this is especially true in Western Christianity. In Western Christianity, we often see the body as something unspiritual, almost as something we need to escape. And that's how we read our Bibles, that eventually we're going to escape these bodies and then we'll be free to be our truest selves. Spiritually seeking, we see the body as a weakness, the body as a hindrance. But what does the Bible actually say? The Bible actually says that these are dignified and loved by God. But how did we get such an undignified view of ourselves? How did this thinking develop about our bodies? Well, the first place is other philosophies. See, Christians, we like to think sometimes as Christians that we are purely 100% Christian in our thinking, right? And we walk around all day long and all we think about is, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? But we're not like that, are we? And the truth is, since the beginning of the church, we have had other philosophies intermingling with Christian orthodoxy that has muddied the waters and messed up our thinking about our bodies. Two prime examples of this are Platonism and Gnosticism. Plato taught that the body is a prison hindering our pure souls from progressing spiritually. And you know what kind of people quoted Plato? Augustine, like really important early church fathers, quoted Plato. He has been grafted into our Christian thinking from the beginning, this idea of the body as a prison. Gnosticism is the other example. Gnosticism was a heretical teaching that sprang up in the first few centuries of the church. And Gnostics had this crazy idea that everything physical is evil. They even went so far with this belief that they said God would never have sullied himself by taking on physical form. And so they believed that Jesus on earth must have been an illusion because God would never be in physical form. They saw the body as something dirty, undignified, and again, something to escape. Now, you might not walk around all day long thinking, you know, oh, I really like what Plato had to say about this. You know, I really like what the Gnostics said. But many Christians, whether they know it or not, are very Platonic and Gnostic in their thinking. A prime example of this is that most Western evangelicals, as they grow in the faith, what they see the whole point of Scripture as is someday that Jesus came and he died for my sins so that someday I can leave this body and go to heaven. And that's what we see as the point of Christianity. Go to heaven. The truth is, that's a very small part of the story. Heaven, as presented in Scripture, is an in-between place. It's not the end of the story. What Jesus, Messiah, actually put on a body for and came to earth to do was to break the powers of darkness that held us enslaved to sin, which he did at the cross, and to set up his eternal reign, which began at the resurrection, and to include us, his believing, baptized people, in the new creation, which will culminate in us all being raised into new bodies someday at the resurrection. So sorry, Plato, sorry, Gnostics, and sorry to anyone who believes that heaven is the end of the story. The gospel is a physical reality. The Bible is a very physical book. I'm not just talking about my big physical book up here. So much of what we read about in the Bible, it's a physical reality, right? It's God intervening in people's physical realities and changing things. The gospel is a physical reality through and through. But many of us still carry this Platonic and Gnostic thinking, and it muddies the waters and causes us in the back of our mind to think this body is a problem, when in fact it's something loved and created by God with dignity. I think the second reason our thinking on this gets so muddled is all the idolatry of bodies in our culture. And we all know about this, right? The vanity, the objectification, the over-sexualization of the human form is just crazy off the charts in our culture. And as believing people, we look at this and we say, that's wrong. That's evil. We're worshiping these bodies. But what happens often is we sort of overcorrect. We overcorrect. We see all these evil things going on, revolving around the body, but we overcorrect and start thinking, you know, maybe this thing that is actually part of God's creation, maybe it is sort of evil. Maybe it's the thing itself that's the problem. And so in our desire to see righteousness come forth in our culture and to see evil cease, we overcorrect and we see God's good creation as something evil itself. And the third reason we get so muddled in our thinking, I think, is simply just all the bad stuff we can get up to in these bodies of ours. Let's be real, right? We can do some really bad stuff in these bodies. We can do some immoral stuff in these bodies, stuff that God prohibits, stuff that God says, that's not the way to life, don't do it. And so oftentimes we get up to trouble in these bodies of ours, and we start to think, gosh, this thing keeps getting me into trouble. This thing must be the problem. But this thing isn't the problem. The problem actually goes much deeper than that. And so we know from faithful reading of the scripture, we can kind of see through all of these arguments for the body being this lower, evil, unspiritual thing. We know that it's not true from scripture, right? But still these ideas persist because we've just been sitting in them for so long. So it's so important that we look and see, okay, but what does scripture actually say? And I've already read to you from Genesis. I've read to you from Psalms. But what does the gospel say? What does the New Testament say about our bodies? Because we are New Testament people after all, aren't we? And so I think it's important that we let the gospel remedy our thinking on this. The gospel shows us three ways that God has placed dignity in our design. The first of those ways is at the incarnation. The incarnation proves that God places great dignity on our design. Think about this. God saw fit to inhabit a body. When Jesus was born, it's what we celebrate every Christmas time, isn't it? That God was born in a manger, in human form. God put on a body. And according to Isaiah the prophet, it wasn't even an especially good-looking body. He talks about this in Isaiah 53. He says, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Wow. So not only did God put on a body, he put on a body that probably wasn't even as good-looking as yours. I mean, the incarnation, God becoming human flesh, shows us that there is so much dignity in our design. We read from this last week in John chapter 1, but listen to it again, what it says about our Savior. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Or I love how Eugene Peterson put verse 14 in the Message. This is maybe the classic line of his entire paraphrase. He said, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Our God saw fit to inhabit a body. That places so much dignity on our own bodies. Now, it's true that Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, he makes it clear that this was an act of humility for God. In Philippians 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, who, Jesus is what it's talking about. Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So yes, it was an act of humility. But Paul, in talking to the church at Colossae, says this about Jesus. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And then in Colossians 2:9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. So was it an act of humility? Yes. But did Jesus chafe under his human skin? No. God was pleased to dwell in the body of Jesus. So God was happy to live in a body, and that should lend a great sense of dignity to us as we live in our bodies. I said God was happy to live in a body, but the second point tells us that God is happy to live in a body. The second way the gospel speaks to the dignity of our design is the resurrection. God is still in a body. That is what the resurrection tells us. He's still in a body, and it's a body with holes, no less. He still has holes in his hands and in his feet. Let me read to you from the Gospel of Luke. This is Luke 24. Jesus has risen from the dead, and he's met two of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They run back. They say, "We've seen Jesus. He walked with us. He ate with us," all this stuff. And then it says in verse 36, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate it in their presence. Jesus rose from the dead, an eating, drinking, physical body. God is still in a body through Jesus. And not only that, in all the passages in the New Testament that tell us about what happened after Jesus ascended into heaven, we're told that Jesus ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God the Father. So think about this. There is a man in a body at the right hand of God the Father right now. Isn't that crazy? Because we think of heaven, we think, oh, it's just this spiritual, nebulous thing. No, Jesus rose in a body, and he's in a body at the right hand of God the Father right now. And someday, he is going to come back in that same body, and he's going to raise us into new bodies also and set up his eternal reign. It is a physical reality. And the gospel over and over again demonstrates the dignity in our design because of God being made flesh and still being flesh. But there's more than that. There's more than that. The last thing that shows us the dignity of our design from the gospel is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in us. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians. This is kind of a long passage, so settle in. Starting at verse 12, says, "I have the right to do anything." Now, this is a quotation, okay? Paul, in some of these letters to the churches, he was fielding questions from them and then answering them. So somebody has said to him in a letter, "I have the right to do anything." And he's answering them right now. "I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with the prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Now, there's a lot in that passage, a lot that we will not cover today. To sum it up, the people at the church in Corinth, they were getting up to some trouble in their bodies. Okay, and Paul was answering some of that, you know, some of those issues. But Paul says two things about our bodies that I want to focus on. He says, first of all, that we're members of Christ himself. We are members of Christ himself. I don't even pretend to understand the majesty of that. That is a deep mystery. But it is a wondrous thing that somehow, even in this physical existence of ours, we have become a part of Jesus. I mean, does that floor anybody else here? That the life we're living in these bodies is connected to him, is unified with him? And then Paul goes on to say that we are temples, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. What could ever confer greater dignity on our bodies than that? The language he uses here when he says temples of the Holy Spirit, he's referencing the dwelling place of God in the temples of old. The Holy of Holies in the tabernacle that Moses built. The Holy of Holies in the first and second temple in Jerusalem. The Holy of Holies, the dwelling place of God among humanity. Paul is saying, that's you now. That's your body. In fact, it's the reason Paul gives for not getting up to trouble in our bodies. He says, you don't want to sin in your body because God lives there now. God lives in our bodies. What could put greater dignity on them than that? So to sum up, these three things that the gospel says that demonstrate the dignity in our design. God was pleased to live in a body. God is pleased to live in a body. And God is pleased to live in your body. When we look at ourselves in the mirror and we don't feel great about what we see, or something's not working properly and we can get really down on ourselves about it, we have to stop and think, this is a good enough body for Jesus to live in. What's my problem with it? As I close, I want to sort of cast a vision as to why it's so important, which many of you are probably thinking, why is this so important? Why are we talking about this today? I want to cast a vision as to why it's so important that as Christians we carry a high view of our body, why we carry a dignified view of the human body. And I want to do that by asking a question. What makes a body a good body? We've all heard that phrase, a good body, right? He or she has a good body. He or she has a great body. And we all know what's meant by that when we hear it, right? We mean that they've somehow, their body meets this crazy criteria that we have set up as being something beautiful. But what I want to ask today is, what's a good body to God? What does God say is a good body? Well, first of all, a good body is one that's made in his image. We already touched on that. And yeah, that means that everyone has a good body because everyone, every person on this planet was made in the image of God. And you might be thinking, well, that's really not profound, but it is profound. It has profound implications for our world today because our world today does not understand that. Our world doesn't understand that people are image bearers of God in their bodies. Our world takes an incredibly low view of the body. For as much as we worship bodies, we take a very low view of them, and that has sinister ramifications for people living in bodies. The first, we've already talked about abortion today. I know nobody wakes up in the morning thinking, I want to go to church and hear about abortion today. You know, but the pro-choice movement has convinced swaths of people that a baby in the mother's womb is just a clump of cells. And what that means is that they are removing all the dignity from that child of being an image bearer of God. And because they remove all the dignity of being an image bearer of God away from that child, it makes that child killable. Another ramification, sex trafficking. Sex trafficking is running rampant in our world. Millions of people are enslaved because people want to use their bodies. Sex trafficking, which is fueled in large part by the porn industry, has sold us on this deception that bodies are simply objects to be used for pleasure. Therefore, removing all the dignity from men and women made in God's image, making them usable. Last one I'll give you. Children in this country are struggling with body dysmorphia at unprecedented levels. We have children growing up thinking, I'm too fat, I'm too thin, I'm not muscular enough, I'm not tall enough, I'm not short enough, my skin's not smooth enough, my skin's too dark, my skin's too light, my hair's too curly, my hair's too straight. And we see what it's producing: anxiety, depression, self-mutilation, even suicide. Because the images our children are being fed from the time they are babies is that if you don't meet this crazy photoshopped standard of beauty that they've been seeing their whole lives, that you're worthless, that you're unlovable. See, our world takes for worshiping bodies, it takes a very low view of bodies. As the people of God, we have to be the ones who uphold a high view of the human body. We have to be the ones that are voicing the dignity in our design. Children and men and women enslaved desperately need us to be true believers in what the gospel says about these things we live in. That's sort of the general answer to that question. What makes a body good? It's a body made in God's image. And it's so important for the sake of the world that we get on board with that. But there's also a personal answer to that question, because we all at times ask ourselves, what makes my body a good body? Or is my body a good body? And again, we're asking, what makes our bodies good in the sight of God? I'm going to read you one more verse today. Romans 12, verse 1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. What is a good body to God? It's simply a body that's offered to Him in holiness. It's a body that says, this is for you, Jesus. This is yours. That is a good body to Him. You may be like me and be struggling with some form of disability today, some physical limitation. It may be hard sometimes to feel good about your body. I want you to know, God loves your body. He loves your body. Your body is just as pleasing to Him as anyone else's body that is offered to Him in holiness. He loves your body. You may be a person today, also like me, struggling with some insecurity about your body. Maybe you feel like you need to lose a few pounds. Maybe you feel like you need to get in better shape. And you know what? If it's within your power and ability to do those things, go for it. I mean, there's no reason not to. If you're in a place where you can exercise, if you're in a place where you can diet, sure, go for it. But don't believe that anything about your body has to change for you to feel dignified about it. You will feel dignified about your body When you stop believing what the world says about your body and you start believing what God says about your body. And so I'll say it again. God loves your body. Nothing has to change for him to love your body. You are made in his image. And if you offer yourself to him in holiness, he is pleased with your body. There is great dignity in your design. Let's pray. Father, this is such a hard issue that that I've wrestled with and that some of us wrestle with, most of us wrestle with, Lord. The standards around us, God, are just crazy, and we have these deep-seated things, some of us, about our bodies, Lord. And Lord, we just acknowledge that those ways of thinking are not your ways of thinking. And Lord, we ask you to help us to repent from our harmful ways of thinking this morning. Lord, help us to see ourselves and each other the way you see us. Help us to take a high view of the body for the sake of the world, Lord, but also for the sake of ourselves, for the sake of our relationships with you, that we would know that you are a loving Father who loves what you made in each one of us. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for encouraging our hearts through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.